Hello and welcome to the Voices of Legacy, a program that we've established to share the stories of interesting people. Well, we like to think they're interesting, from Toledo and the surrounding area, to be able to share their living legacies and in some cases honor those that have gone before us. But today I have a special treat for you, none other than the legendary and some would say maybe infamous Fred Lefevre, who's been on the radio at WSPD for right about 40 years, by my count, about 42, but 40 years serving the community with information, laughter, and sometimes every now and again a little bit of controversy, but it's all in good fun. Good morning, Mr. Fred.
Have I gotten so old that I'm ready to accept Lifetime Achievement Awards now? I feel like I'm some old washed-up actor at the Academy Awards this year. Oh, here's a 96-year-old. Let's give him something. He never won anything else. I guess after 44 years, I deserve a little something, right, besides the studio being named after me?
Well, I hope so. Maybe a raise. They'll get a cheer for you standing.
There you go.
But Brother Fred, as we're joining together, I really do thank you for being with us today. I've been in your studio, had the pleasure of you interviewing me some time ago, but now I get to get you back.
Well, I like paying back, and that's why I have people like you and Tremaine Rayford and guys like that on the show, because you're out in the community doing something, and that's important.
It's
a good thing to scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Exactly. Deeds.
Yeah, deeds, not words.
Not words. I love that saying. And that seems to be, I guess, the definition of what you're doing now in your career more than ever before, it seems.
Well, it seems like that for people who are hearing it more. But when I first got here in 1980, at that time, radio stations were really involved in the community a lot. We had the staff to be able to do that. And so my first couple of years, there wasn't a weekend that didn't go by that I wasn't at either a bike ride or a hike or some kind of charity event somewhere along the line. So I met a ton of the people who were in that service community. And then radio has gone through a lot of changes. We don't have as many staff members as we used to. So I had to find other ways to be able to do that. So I became a member of the Toledo Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club and give back to the community that way. And still MC the occasional charitable event when someone asked me to.
Well, to the Buffalo Soldiers, what exactly do you all do?
I'm the PIO and the secretary for the club itself. But, well, case in point, today I just got a message before we started recording that we have 10 giant pans of ham casserole that one of our members, Chef Regnus, who runs off the rails food trolley, has prepared using hams that were donated to us by another one of our supporters. And so we will take those out more than likely to either the Family House or the YWCA Battered Women's Shelter or one of those places, the Cocoon, the Beach House, the Aurora House, one of those places where women who are in trouble are housed because they always need the food. So we'll take those meals out and feed those folks this week.
Wow, that's awesome. And that's kind of how we've connected, I guess, over this last year or so in serving the community, actually getting there, not necessarily for accolades or photo ops or anything of that nature.
Yeah, it's never about that. It really shouldn't be. If you're just looking to get something back from it, then it's not really service.
That's right.
And one of the things that we talked about on the air for many, many years, even before I became a member of the Buffalo Soldiers, was that you can't sit back and wait for the government to do things
That's
for
right.
you, okay? They just won't. They're too big. They cannot focus on the small communities. Well, like whatever your community is, however big it is right now for you, they cannot focus on a community that small. They'll throw money at a big problem, but that doesn't solve the problem. The problems in our neighborhoods and in our cities and with our kids have to be solved, at least for me, one-on-one.
Yeah,
you have to be there. You have to, I learned from one of the Buddhists in the area, you have to be present is how they put it.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You mentioned Buddhism. How has your faith affected your career over the years?
I'm open to a little bit of everything, actually. I was raised Catholic, so I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. and attended Catholic churches when I moved to Toledo. And I've kind of gotten away from that for a lot of different reasons. I just didn't find that the Catholic Church was doing the things that I wanted to do on my own.
Yeah.
I didn't see them out in the community. And I found the same thing, actually, with the non-denominationals and the so-called Christian churches and AMEs and every church in the area. They aren't on the street. And that's one thing that I saw that you were doing. You were actually on the street feeding people, clothing people, all those things that we're supposed to do, visiting people in jail, caring for the sick, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Even down the street from this studio in hospice.
Yeah, quite often. Exactly. And you know, not busy collecting for the First Lady's birthday fund or the new parking lot or the roof or any of that kind of stuff. You're not taking up a collection. You were just out there. I had stuff that other people had donated to us, clothing and things like that. You had a need for it. That's a good matchup.
Oh, yeah. And you got a nice cake for it.
Yeah, that's right. I did get a nice cake for it.
Oh, man. So over the years, you've had a lot of opportunities to cover a wide range of topics and issues. What are some of the most memorable, I dare say controversial, subjects that you've had to cover and the feedback that you got from them?
You know, it's interesting because I wasn't sure you'd ask something like that, but I was thinking about it. And one of my proudest moments is a plaque that I still have that I hang wherever I'm living that used to be in my office from UMAT, which is the United Muslims of America organization here in town. And I got it a number of years ago after an event that happened where there was a bombing and people died. And the community was up in arms about how it was all Muslims. And we just needed, we've got to get them out of here. Despite the fact that, you know, Toledoans have been going to their restaurants, having them as their physicians, lawyers, every other job out there.
Yeah, who hasn't been to Beirut?
At the Beirut. And they saw what I was doing on the air, and they said, we'd like you to come to our annual dinner. And I wasn't aware that they were going to, and they gave me a plaque, and it was just so simple. It was just for being fair. And that's all I've tried to do on the air is to be fair. Yeah. I've tried to be level and use common sense. But that plaque from them really meant a lot to me because it meant I wasn't trying to focus on one particular thing. I was just saying, look, here are the facts. Let's make a decision based on the facts, not on emotion.
And it seems to be, again, another common theme in my listening of you, and not to age Brother Fred nor myself.
Yeah.
I've been listening to talk radio for all of my life, back to Bruce Williams, to Larry King, you name it, back in the day. And it seems as though, this is my opinion, but you correct me if I'm wrong, that seems to be the way you handle everything, every subject that you talk about, even when it comes to politics. You're on a conservative talk radio station by its reputation, where Rush Limbaugh, when he was alive, used to be on the air. But you tend to keep it more even than anybody else that I've heard on that radio station.
Well, the thing is, people refer to us as WGOP. Okay. And most of it is because, yes, we carried Rush and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin when he was still on the radio. But that's not my show. No one has ever told me that I have to hold a particular position, that I can't talk about a particular subject, or that I have to have a particular viewpoint. And one of the things that I did learn from Rush in listening to him, he said he never listened to any of the other hosts because he didn't want to be influenced by what they had to say and then follow them. And so I do that. I don't really listen to talk radio at all, really. I hear little snippets now and then. But for instance, on this bridge accident, I'm doing my own research on sites that I trust, engineering sites, maritime law sites, things like that, as opposed to looking at a meme and repeating the meme and going with that kind of information. So I am kind of right down the middle. I'm more libertarian, really, than anything else.
Yeah.
Small government, stay out of my business, lower my taxes, just do what you were supposed to do and leave me the hell alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I appreciate that about you, because really in the echo chambers of radio and podcasting and the internet, there's so many voices, and everybody's on their own side, but they're not listening to anybody. Even in my profession, in the ministry, I mean, my first job is to listen. Here, what's the issue? What's the problem? What's the hurt? Why are you here in this situation? So
exactly.
that we can address that. Yeah. And if I can tell you about my faith after that, fine. But if I'm coming in full steam ahead with the party line.
Right. Well, and for you, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way you live is supposed to be the example.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to have to tell somebody you're Christian.
That's right.
The way you live is supposed to show them. And it doesn't even necessarily mean to be Christian. I don't identify as any one particular thing. But when people see me out in public and see how I live, if they want to use that as an example, great.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you disagree with all the things I do, you know, that's fine with me. I'm going to continue to do my thing.
Before we're anything, we're human.
Right.
I think that's been our connection. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I've learned a lot as a member of the Buffalo Soldiers and gone into communities that I probably wouldn't have gone into before. Mm. When COVID first hit, we went to the LMHA homes. I grew up in Detroit. We referred to them as the projects. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we didn't go near them. I grew up in the suburbs, so I didn't go near the projects. I didn't go near the projects here in Toledo, despite having lived here for 40 years by the time, you know, COVID hit. But we went in and delivered meals to the kids and the families there because they weren't going to school, so they weren't going to get that school breakfast or lunch. So again, partnering with other community members, we went in and served easily 10,000 meals during those first few months of COVID, about three times a week at different LMHA units. And so I met people and saw people and realized, okay, I had it pretty good. These people have a whole different lifestyle that they have to deal with every single day. They're more concerned with whether or not they're going to have a meal that day, all right, whether or not dad's going to come home that day, where the money's going to come from the groceries for that day. So whatever I can do, whatever the club can do, then we need to do that.
That's awesome. So it gave you a greater appreciation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I wish other people could do that. And there are opportunities for them. Oh, I'm sure you could use a couple of volunteers
to
come out and do nothing but maybe hand out the groceries or pass out the clothes that you have for the community. And just being present again, just being present gives you that awareness, okay, this isn't everybody's life.
Yes.
When we go out and teach the class in gun safety, first time we asked the question, how many of you kids, and it was second graders to sixth graders, have seen a gun? Every hand went up.
Yeah, was that one of your?
I hadn't seen a gun until I was 50 years old. How many of you have touched a gun? About half the hands went up. And we're talking to a group of like 100 kids grade school kids.
Yeah.
And then how many of you have fired a gun? Hands went up. These are kids who have fired guns in their homes with adults present. No concept of how dangerous that is. Mom and dad, they didn't have a concept of how dangerous it is to let, you know, they thought, well, I've got the gun under the bed. Here, I'll show you what it does. Thinking that's the safety message. Mm. That's not the safety message. So that taught me that, these kids are hearing gunshots every day.
Yes.
Where I live, I don't. I need to be present in what they're feeling so that I understand where they're coming from.
Have you experienced any pushback for that particular program?
I haven't gotten any pushback on anything I've done, luckily.
That's great.
The oddest question I get every once in a while is from people who say, well, weren't the Buffalo Soldiers all African Americans? Yes, they were back in the day.
Yeah.
It was the all what they called then the Negro or the Black or the colored troops that were formed after the Civil War.
That's right.
That fought through every war up until 51 when Truman integrated the troops. And even then, were treated differently.
Yeah.
But now it's about the service. We have white members all over the country because it's a service organization first. Mm-hmm. We honor the military history of those men and women who fought all those years, and we teach that history because kids don't get that history in school. They don't know about the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah.
They don't know about all the things that the Buffalo Soldiers did to help settle the West.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first border patrol. They were the first sheriffs in many towns. They were the first park rangers. The roads that are built right now in Sequoia National Park, where those gigantic sequoia trees, those roads are the roads that Buffalo Soldiers built.
Wow.
Still in service today.
That's awesome.
So there's a huge history that our kids aren't being taught. And instead, you know, they're relying on Wakanda forever. And sorry, but that's fantasy.
Yeah,
there are real heroes
out
there.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So you seem to have a spirit of service. And I'm thinking, does that come from your parents or your upbringing? Or
you know, I really don't.
Something you picked up over the years.
I don't know who I would attribute it to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my folks were busy raising 9 kids.
Oh, wow.
So there wasn't a whole lot of time.
Where did you
fall
in?
My dad only had the one hobby. So there wasn't a whole lot of time, you know, for them going out and giving service. And I think what happened was when I got here in 1980, and we did so many charitable activities, and they were, you know, I wasn't getting paid for any of those.
It is addictive.
That just kind of got ingrained in me. It was like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. And my kids would get involved when I would go out to service projects, and they enjoyed it. So they understood, okay, you have to give back. Mm-hmm. You're part of the community. And it just, I don't know, it just became a thing. And I really like it.
That's
I just
awesome.
Really enjoy it.
So you have kids and grandkids?
I have two children. They're both obviously much older, 44 and 40 right now.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of grandchildren.
Awesome.
So they've all learned that lesson that, look, if you're going to be in the community, you need to do things. My daughter, who lives in St. Paul, during COVID, she realized that the neighbors weren't seeing each other. Mm-hmm. So she started a free music program, a concert in the park, in the big park in her neighborhood, gathered up the bands for it. Used her own money to pay for everything that needed to be paid for, get all the permissions and stuff. It's on its fifth year now.
Wow.
And is drawing more and more people to what is basically, you know, a city park. Mm-hmm. Every year she brings in 4 bands. They play all afternoon.
That's awesome.
And then she raises food for the local food bank. And any money that's left over goes to them, too.
So a good chip off of the whole block.
Yeah, which that makes me happier than anything, really.
Yeah, it does.
You know.
It does. That's probably the legacy that we're talking about today. And I had to learn the hard way of your influence. I knew of you because my father back in the day had Accurate TV. I don't know if you remember that. We had like 16 stores between Michigan and Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded commercials at your station.
Oh, yeah.
And 15:20 a.m. at the time, I think Ted Wright, I don't know if anybody knows who
I
Ted
remember
Wright,
that name, yeah.
Was. And I remember a much younger you.
Yeah, all of us were
younger.
It
was a much younger me,
years ago.
Too. But the influence that you have, I learned the hard way, and I'll keep it short. During this past holiday season, I think that's when we kind of connected officially.
Yeah.
Fred started to mention our food ministry. We were serving at the time probably about 30, 40, maximum 50 per month. We went from that between Thanksgiving to the end of the year to 400 a month.
Wow.
Plus, simply because this nice gentleman.
That's pretty good.
Mentioned
See, I,
us
I
on
like,
the air.
I like to hear stuff like that. But the other side of that, the flip side of that is then I want the people who listen also to donate.
Yes.
And to come forward with money and with donations to make sure that those 400 people are getting what they need.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that I've discovered, that my listeners don't always know how they can get involved. They don't know where they can go to be present. You know, you have a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't know why these people aren't pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. I don't know why they aren't helping themselves, you know, which is just BS. Because there are people, your group, Tremaine, Rashawn Jones and his boxing kids, Lamar Wright, Albert Earl. There's a whole bunch of people out there doing things in the neighborhood that my audience doesn't hear about because they aren't in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay, they're out in the suburbs. They don't know what's going on in the neighborhood except what they see on the news. And they need to understand this morning we had Big Brothers Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. They need to understand that those groups are doing something. They are empowering kids. They have a big STEAM event coming up for science, technology, and math and things like that. They have those things going on, but they need support of the people who've already been successful and moved on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you got me hooked.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to know what's going on in the community, and there's not many people talking about that on broadcast anything anymore as it used to be.
Yeah, it used to. Well, there used to be a lot of local content. I mean, if you look at the dial right now, being honest, all right, on the radio dial, I'm local in the morning. Mm-hmm. Not all of our shows have local content. They might be local. They may have a body in the studio, but they're still focused on the music.
Yes.
I'm not. I don't play any music. So each quarter hour, I'm looking to fill with something that's either in the news or something that's happening. So this morning it was the solar eclipse, and then the doctor came in to talk about the Big Brothers Big Sisters events coming up and what they're doing in the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So it's a focus like that. There is no other outlet. They can't go to any of the other stations, really, and grab 15 minutes of airtime to talk about what they're doing. You know, like you did when you
for
came
granted.
In. Yeah,
we invite it. It's awesome, and it's. I guess it lends itself to the final question for today, in regards to the legacy. I think is one of community. But I'm going to ask you the question, as you've gone through these last 40. You said 44 years.
44. I got here in 1980.
Man, there's been a lot of change in Toledo. This isn't the same place I grew up.
Oh no. I mean, it's not the same place I came to. Stop and think about it. When I got here in 1980, so I got to see Portside get built and then close and then open and then close and then open as Imagination Station. I did the first remote ever at Northland Mall at Northtown, and now Northtown is gone. I did remotes every weekend from Southwick, which is gone, from Woodville, which is gone, from Great Eastern, which is in the news this week because it's just been declared a nuisance. Wow. Every one of those malls used to be bustling, you know, and we were at all of those things. So I've watched all those things come and go over the years, all the different things that the city has tried to do, that the government has tried to do. And that just really cemented in me the idea that we can't wait for them to do stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to throw money at things, and money doesn't solve that problem. You have to be there. Somebody's got to step up. When we go out and talk to the kids for gun safety, anti-bullying, or our signature program, What to Do and Stop by Police, we're there, we're present, and we go back. We just went back to Harvard Elementary, actually, last week, and fed over 260 kids lunch because the previous week, we had taught them anti-bullying and gun safety and told them, if you do what we ask you to do, if you're respectful and you don't talk when we talk and you stand up and identify yourself when you're answering or asking a question, we'll come back and we'll feed you lunch. And those kids had thank you notes and they were so happy to get a free lunch. It was just funny because they would have had lunch anyhow, you know. But you got this big trolley rolling up, giving them hamburgers, potato chips, and chocolate chip cookies. They were, oh, this is great. We love you, Buffalo Soldiers. But you have to go back, and you have to be there for our kids.
Yes.
That's the key to all of that.
So is it better than the paycheck?
Is it what?
Is it better than the paycheck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, I would see. I would do this. At some point, I reached a point where I thought, you know what? I don't need another raise. I'm good with what I make. I'm comfortable, all right? And especially after seeing so many other people being able to make it with a lot less. Mm. I'm comfortable. I don't need another raise. Just let me follow rule number 8, all right, which is my show. I'll do whatever the hell I want. Mm. Just let me do that, and we'll be fine.
I think we'll all be fine. As long as you stay on there, you can't retire.
I can. I don't know who would take my place if I retire.
Nobody. Scott's good, but he's not you. no offense, Scott. You know I love you. So, to the last question, I've been hemming and hawing. What do you think your legacy is, and what
would you like for your legacy to be?
I don't even, you know, I hear people ask sports figures that too, and you don't really think about that. Mm-hmm. When I die, I'm not going to know what people think of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I hope a lot of people show up at the funeral.
Yeah.
And I've already made arrangements. I've already told them, look, whoever is left, mm-hmm. I don't want any organ music. I don't want any of that church crap going on. Here's what I want. I've got a whole bunch of old discs of my old shows mm-hmm. from the Breakfast Club days and stuff where we made people laugh. Put those in the system and just play those and some rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. And I'll be gone anyhow, so it doesn't matter. But please, just do that so that other people have a good
time. This is my request to you, that you put in your will now. You got to write this down. You play every version of The Bee Is Silent.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's – see, for me, having that, having people contribute to that mm-hmm. and having people come up to me and say, oh, last night some woman did it at an event I went to. Can I take a picture with you? My daughter just left, and she kept pointing out men and saying, is that Fred? Is that Fred? Is that Fred? That's my legacy.
That's awesome.
You know, is it, hopefully people will miss me. But I also know I'm realistic. Mm. I've been through a bunch of radio shows.
Yeah.
And the first thing they say when that radio show gets fired is, well, I'm never listening to that station again. There's my favorite DJ. And you guys are dead to me. 6 months later, they're back. Mm. Because it, for those stations, it's about the music.
Yeah.
All right. And the contesting. It's not about the content. For me, it's about the content.
Yeah. Well, I think you're not replaceable in any way. That's just my opinion.
Everybody is, though. Everybody is.
Yeah. Not for what you do. But we're grateful for you, Fred. Truly are. Thankful for you coming and joining us for the Voices of Legacy. We hope that what we share today is beneficial to those that are listening as we're pressing forward. We're thankful for the legacy, I think, of love and community. We didn't say the big L word, but it's reflected in everything that we do. It's not about just words, but mm-hmm. deeds. What do you do to benefit your community? How do you give? Not just give back. That kind of includes an implication that you're taking away. But what do you give out of the abundance of your heart to your community? And I think Brother Fred has kind of proven that you can do a lot just by having a will to do so. Thank you so much, Brother Fred.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And if people want information on the Buffalo Soldiers, they can go to ToledoBuffaloSoldiers.org. Okay. We're always looking for extra community support.
So if you want to get more information about the Buffalo Soldiers, you can go there. We thank everybody for listening to the Voices of Legacy today. I am your host, Pastor Carl. Have a blessed and joyful day. And remember, you're writing your legacy today. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission. For more information about the Voices Around Us podcast project, please visit WGTE.org. You may also listen to all Voices Around Us podcasts at WGTE.org/VAU, the WGTE app, or wherever you get your podcasts online.